Nuclear weapons in the hands of nuts with nukes could trigger massive nuclear wars, with radioactive clouds blowing over the entire Earth.
A super crisis will be when millions of Christians are raptured out of this world, which will create a massive chaos and carnage.
This is Bob Boyd.
And Jerry Boyd.
This is Issues in Education. Although we're living in a period of time called the Church Age, there's coming a terrible time of great tribulation.
But before the Great Tribulation, Jesus Christ will rapture up His faithful followers.
Isaiah 17 prophesies the destruction of Damascus, Syria, so that that entire city becomes a ruinous heap. This ancient city has never before in history been destroyed, but one day it will be utterly uninhabitable.
Does the destruction of Damascus happen in the Church Age or the Great Tribulation? Our guest is Pastor Barry Stagner, host of a radio program called The Lineup, and author of 6 books, including The Time of the Signs, A Chronology of End Times Events. You had said that you felt like the Ezekiel 38 war could start even now, and then we could be raptured during that. So we don't really know the time frame. Is it possible the Ezekiel 38-39 war could take place before the rapture completely?
I don't think so. And the reason I say that is because the way the war ends is God's wrath. And we are not living in a time where God manifests His wrath. The description in Ezekiel 39, and in particular how that war ends, is fire, hailstones, and blood, and, you know, this is wrath of God type language. His wrath is specific to the 70th week of Daniel, and that's why I say we could see the beginning of the war, but I don't think we'll see the end, because if we don't have an appointment with wrath, we have to be gone for God to respond to the invading forces the way He does.
The destruction of Damascus could surely bring all these other nations down against Israel, and maybe that would be the Gog-Magog War.
Oh, absolutely. Something's going to be the catalyst that emboldens these groups to move beyond rhetoric and saber-rattling. The destruction of Damascus would be a pretty good potential candidate for causing these nations to just finally say, all right, that's it, we're going in. It seems to make sense, because several countries that are in the news every day, that would certainly include Syria. Israel's running sorties into Syria on a regular basis, a bombing, weapons or hardware shipments coming out of Iran to get as close to Israel's northern border as possible, the necessary weaponry or personnel in order to invade or even just simply attack from that vantage point. It's very, very possible that, you know, one of those shipments that come in from Iran could contain some type of nuclear device or a warhead. And, you know, if Israel blows that up, Damascus is going to become uninhabitable. These are just potential calculated speculation. It's very possible that that could be the scenario that plays out.
Israel's so, quote-unquote, kind of nice. I mean, they try to get the civilians out, and they don't just go blow up something. So that's where I have a little difficulty, because unless they got the people out of Damascus first, would they actually bomb Damascus with all the people in it?
If they didn't know that there was a nuclear warhead inside of one of these shipments, that wouldn't be them just being indifferent to the potential civilian casualties. That would just be something that happened, the Persians or the Iranians initiated by trying to slip it in to get it on some kind of nuclear dirty bomb or whatever. So I don't think it would be Israel just saying, well, you know what, we've had it, and we're just going to blow them off the face of the earth. I think it could possibly be. We know that there are chemical weapons storage facilities there. They could hit one of those unknowingly, thinking something else is there. Yeah, I don't think they're going to cast aside their practice of minimizing civilian casualties. I think it's just going to be something that is either not an accident in the sense of just, oops, that missile was fired off, we didn't mean to, but in the sense of striking something that they were unaware of that was being shipped in. You know, because that's one of the reasons that they run these missions into Syria, is because they're aware of Iranian shipments And we know the Iranians, Persians, have been enriching uranium this whole time that they're debating with the nuclear monitors, those who to limit their enrichment capacities down to just energy grade. But they have, and Israel's reported, you know, they're less than a year away from a nuclear bomb. The enrichment level of 90%, once that's reached fissile material, then you've got a nuclear capability. So I don't know what will be the cause of the destruction of Damascus, but I do know Damascus is going to be destroyed.
It's really significant what you said, how there are people today who could see the beginning of the Gog-Magog war, but not the end of it. In other words, what you're saying, I think, is that we would be raptured out before the end of the Gog-Magog war because God would supernaturally destroy all the armies that come against Israel, right?
Yeah, if during the church age God was going to pour out his wrath on the enemies of Israel, he certainly would have done it to the Nazis. Because he did not, it reminds us we're in the time of the Gentiles. This is not the 70th week of Daniel. And during the 70th week of Daniel, the Lord will fight as he fights in the day of battle. And if we want to know how he fights, we only need to look at the Exodus from the Egyptian captivity. One of the most interesting reads in the Old Testament is the questioning of Job in Job 38 and 39, where the Lord is basically asking Job, where were you when I set the boundaries of the sea? And have you seen the treasury of hail I have reserved for the time of the end? And then you've got hail as one of the means of destruction that destroys these invading armies in Ezekiel 38 and 39. That's specific to the time of the end. I don't think we're going to be here to see any of that. So I think that necessitates the rapture of the church prior to the end of the Ezekiel war.
Why do you say that?
Because it's God's wrath. And 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says we don't have an appointment with it. God is not operating in that manner right now. If he was going to go on the offensive against Israel's enemies, the Nazis would have been a prime candidate, and yet they went into the Holocaust and the 6 million and all the other horrific things we know about that time period. But here we've got the actions of God during the 70th week of Daniel than outside of it. So to see God act out in the way he does to bring an end to that war, that's more fitting and consistent with events recorded in the book of Revelation than anything in the epistles of the Gospels. As I travel around the world and teach in different conferences, I hear the same thing over and over. Me and my friend Amir Sarfati, as we teach at these conferences, both of us here, I can't find a Bible teaching church. I can't find a church that teaches prophecy. Can you recommend a church that teaches the Bible? I mean, it's just rampant and it's global. People are just hungry for the word. I'm teaching through the book of Titus, and Paul is talking about those who basically abandon the truth, who are claiming to be elders and leaders. And Paul says their mouths must be stopped. Sadly, that today is viewed as something that's unloving and intolerant, and we just kind of got to go with the flow and whatever people think, that's their truth. There's no such thing as your truth. There's just truth, and then there's lies when it comes to spiritual things.
Yeah, that's one of the signs of the times. A great falling away is one of the reasons why we're excited about knowing that we could be raptured at any moment.
We all, except for one generation that's going to skip the whole death thing. I like to call it the group plan. There's one generation going to go in the group plan, but everybody else in previous generations has experienced the consequence of one single sin, and that is the death of the flesh.
And I want to go with the group plan, Barry. I thought that was good.
Yes.
Matthew 24:32, learn from the fig tree. When the branch is already tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. When you see these things, know that it is near at the door. Assuredly, I say, this generation will by no means pass away until these things take place. Now, how long is a generation?
First
a generation starts at the birth of Israel, right?
Yeah, it's popular to go to the Psalms and say it's 70 or 80 years by reason of strength. When you see the fig tree budding, you know that summer is near. And Jesus is using an example. The fig tree is representative of Israel as God's fig tree. Jeremiah even calls Israel God's fruitless fig tree. During the Passion Week, Jesus countering on Monday the fig tree with no figs, because it wasn't season. That's symbolic of him coming to his own and them receiving him not. And then you've got on the second day, you know, the disciples made the observation, look, that fig tree you cursed is dried up from the roots. That symbolizes the diaspora. And then, you know, the third day of the Passion Week on Wednesday is when Jesus taught the Olivet Discourse to Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And he said, learn this parable from the fig tree. So if the fig tree symbolized unbelieving Israel on Monday and unbelieving Israel on Tuesday, then it has to represent unbelieving Israel on Wednesday. And he's talking about the rebirth of the nation. So we have seen that and been privileged to watch the fruitless fig tree begin to bud once again. The dry bones of Ezekiel 37 have been regathered, and the sinews put on them, and the tendons and ligaments and all that. They've been born in a day, as Isaiah prophesies. But yeah, the starting point for the generation that will not pass away is May 14th, 1948.
So when he says this generation, if it's 70 to 80 years, he's coming soon. It could be 70 or 80 years.
Oh, it's absolutely. Obviously not 70. It could be 90 years. Whoever's alive on May 14th, 1948, they're not all going to die before everything happens. But the generation that sees the rebirth of the nation of Israel could and will certainly include the whole seven-year tribulation.
And then, Barry, we're getting to a point where the evil is waxing worse and worse, and all this transgenderism and killing children. I think France just wrote it into their constitution that anybody can get an abortion anytime. And so I'm just thinking God gets to a point where he's had enough, like with the flood. I don't see how this can wind down other than we're coming into the time of the rapture. It doesn't seem like it's just going to go away.
No, and the most recent effort is this transgender movement has now become the primary front that the enemy is attacking. And he opened the door for that through this whole evolutionary process that supposedly caused all things to come into existence from molecules to man. This elimination of the creation narrative, which then opens the door for questioning everything else. So evolution introduced back in 1929 in the Scopes monkey trial. It became predominant in the thinking of the lefties, so to speak, and now here it's the only thing allowed to be taught in our schools. The no creation narrative can be taught in the public schools. We saw a marriage now has been disassembled, and it's just two loving people. Doesn't matter what their gender or sex is. As long as they're in love, they can be married. And then now nobody knows what a woman is anymore. Basically, everything that God has done, the enemy has attacked and disparaged like never before. Cultures that did not worship the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they knew what was inside of a pregnant woman. They knew it was a human child, and there was no question about that. But now all of a sudden, these logical things are just called into question. It's an amazing time to be alive, to know that we could go in the twinkling of an eye at any moment, and also to realize that the world has just completely lost its mind. Yeah. And evil is called good, and good is called evil.
That's right. We're living in an age of deception where evolution is taught as a truth and biblical creation is taught as a fable, so that even the elect could possibly be deceived, it would be in this period of time. But there's also this period of time where people who are alive today could never die and just be raptured up into heaven.
Yeah, we're living around people who are going to go into the tribulation. We need to be telling them it's coming because we're the only ones that have the intel. I mean, no one else is aware of where all this is going. Only the church, and not even the Jews, know the specifics that we have because they don't read the book of Revelation. And we know that there's coming a guy who's going to make that seven-year covenant prophesied in Daniel chapter 9. We know that he is going to demand that people receive a mark on their right hand or forehead in order to buy and sell. We know that there's going to be an image the world is going to bow down to. We have all these specifics that nobody else has. I think that's part of our responsibility today, to tell people what's coming. So if they miss the rapture and they see it, if they happen to survive all the things that the rapture is going to cause, and they watch this man rise up from the revived Roman Empire, at least the geographic region, if they see the system implemented where there's a mark necessary to conduct any type of commerce or fill up your gas tank or buy food, and they've heard it already from somebody who all of a sudden has disappeared, then that's going to cause people to investigate the rest of the story. We have to remember that the largest great awakening in human history is going to take place during the tribulation. A numberless multitude of every tribe, tongue, nation of people are going to be the followers of Christ and be beheaded for their commitment to Him.
There's going to be an angel that flies all around preaching the gospel. So, I mean, that's going to be profound. Every creature will hear in their own language, which is just like so supernatural. And then another angel saying, don't take the mark. God is providing right there salvation to the whole world during the tribulation. But I was just going to ask you, like, once we're raptured, it seems that would wake up people.
Revelation 14:6 talks about an angel flying in the mid-heaven, and that word means the high point in the sky, or where the sun is at noon, and this angel is going to be flying in this highly visible position. What the text says is he's going to be preaching the everlasting gospel, and the content of his message is a lot like Jonah's, very short and to the point. And what that angel preaches is fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come. Just like Jonah, 40 days and yet Nineveh will be overthrown. One of the things that I think the church has shied away from is talking about the coming judgment of God. It is going to happen, and we are closer than any generation prior to us being actualized. There's a time span between the rapture and the beginning of the tribulation. I think that just makes sense. Before our time together today, we can be out of here.
Hallelujah.
Then the Lord could come for us, and everything's going to change just in a moment. But I think that the important thing is not to shy away from telling people, judgment's coming. The angel preaches it. Jonah preached it to the much-hated Syrians. It caused a 100-year-long great awakening and revival in that country with an exceedingly wicked and vile people. There's still hope today for people to turn to faith in Christ, even through the preaching of what we know to be true as far as what's going to happen in the world.
Who do you think may be the Antichrist? Where would he come from, maybe?
What we do know is where he's going to come from. He will come from the Roman Empire, or at least that geographic region. I'm just glad we're going to be gone before he rises to power.
Amen. I like that.
Bob and I are excited about the rapture, but there's still people that say, oh, I don't want it to come because I want to watch my grandchildren grow up.
What I'm excited about is seeing my grandkids in glorified bodies.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
They love the Lord. They're going too. And I think that's the most important part. People say, I've never been to Europe. Listen, where we're going is much better than anything on this earth. And I'd rather go to heaven than Europe.
For sure. You hear about people talking about diets to lose weight. Well, I think the greatest diet will be the rapture. We'll lose 100% of our body.
Just shed that old thing.
Yeah. Barry Stagner, author of The Time of the Signs. Maybe you could give us a conclusion and end with a prayer.
Absolutely. Father, we are so grateful for your word, and thank you that you have communicated to us as one who knows the end from the beginning and all the specifics in the middle, and given us, Lord, encouragement and strength, and we find great comfort knowing that whoever calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. So pray that we would be bold in proclaiming it in these last days. And Lord, our hearts are looking forward to that moment where we see you face to face and we meet you in the air. To that we say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We bless you and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amir Sarfati is a biblical prophecy expert. Amir Sarfati is the author of several books, including Has the Tribulation Begun? Avoiding Confusion and Redeeming the Time in These Last Days.
So many people don't understand the severity of the tribulation. That the tribulation is war, famine, death, death of the fourth of the population of the world. Over 2 billion people are going to die. Then we move to a third of the trees will be, and the grass will be destroyed. A third of the sea life, sheep destroyed. A third of fresh water poisoned. And that's just in the trumpets. But then comes the seven bowls. Scourging sun will hit the people. They will not even find a way to find remedy. I mean, people will be burned from the sun. It's rebellious mankind curses God, even though they know that he has the power to stop these things, but they will blaspheme his name and not repent. All of this will happen. And we are not to be here when it happens. This is the judgment of God. That's the day of the Lord. The good news, the judgment of God on the wicked people here on earth will happen after the righteous are taken away.
How do you know that?
1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ."
Amir Sarfati is giving us a glimpse of what the Great Tribulation will be like, just as God saved Noah and his family before the earth was flooded from the Great Flood. So God will save us from the Great Tribulation.
But look what is coming to those who remain on earth during the Great Tribulation. Revelation 8 says, "When the seventh seal was opened, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. Then the angel hurled fire from the altar to the earth."
And a third of the earth was burned up. A third of the sea turned to blood. This is going to happen. That's for sure going to happen.
Billions of people will die.
And so for us believers who are raptured out, we can have the hope that for our loved ones who are left behind, there will still be some that can be saved from an eternal hell.
Absolutely. Family members could be saved throughout the tribulation. But the most important thing is that at least their eternity is going to be secured in the New Jerusalem, in the New Earth, and the New Heaven.
God wants to save people from hell, and He's shown great patience throughout Scripture.
Absolutely. We worship a God that wants us to live and not to die.
God came to this earth that He built to demonstrate who He is. Jesus Christ is God, who is the most merciful and loving man who ever lived on earth. Truly a wonderful, gracious, forgiving, loving God. Never on the face of this earth was there such a person like Jesus. Nobody cares more about saving people from suffering, death, sorrow, and hell than Jesus, who demonstrated His love by dying a cruel, horrific death on the cross so that we could live forgiven of our sins forever with Him.
So the Great Tribulation is for those who reject Christ and reject His sacrifice.
The tribulation is punishment for those who reject salvation. The Bible says in John chapter 3, those who believe are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already. Because by nature, we're sinners. Sin entered the world, and so death came with it. The tribulation eventually will be after God's open doors of mercy were there for the whole world. And the world says, "No, thank you. We don't believe in you. We don't need you. We don't want you. We want to live our ways."
I think that there is no biblical reason for us to experience God's wrath. There is no logical reason for us to experience His wrath. And because of the completeness of Christ's work on the cross, there is no spiritual reason for us to experience His wrath. So rather than fearing the trials that are soon going to come upon this earth, I think that Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come. And another thing is the urgency to share the gospel. That's the number one thing. The urgency is the understanding that it can happen any minute. And Paul, unlike us, never lived to see the return of the Jews to their land, which is what Jesus told everyone, the ultimate sign of the end times and His soon return. That the rapture is not only true, but it's also imminent. I cannot think of any other time period in history where I would want to live. And what are we doing? Instead of getting ready, all we do is we're fighting. It's in the middle. It's at the end. He is the Antichrist. This is this. This is that. And there is no rapture. Look, it reminds me of all those who said that God is done with Israel. And ever since 1948, they have hard life. How can you live with yourself after you taught all those years that God has canceled them and replaced them? So how do you explain their return to the land? How do you explain their miraculous existence for the last 75 years? We live in a generation that everything He said is coming to pass. Look, years ago, it was easier to sell people that God forgot about Israel. Very easy. The last 75 years were like a black eye in the face of all those who taught this. One thing we need to remember is stick to the scriptures, avoiding confusion.
And that's why the subtitle of the book is Avoiding Confusion and Redeeming the Time in These Last Days.
Amir Safadi is the author of Has the Great Tribulation Begun?
If people don't believe there is a soon coming rapture, then there's no urgency to warn people. It's like the last days of Noah on the ark. There was an urgency to warn others before the flood came. So there's an urgency today to warn people before this unbelievable catastrophe known as the Great Tribulation comes to earth. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is promised to no one. Join us here, there, or in the air.
If you would like a CD copy of today's urgent program, please ask for number 1881, The Signs of the Times, Part 2. That's number 1881, The Signs of the Times, Part 2. The CD also includes last week's program, Part 1. You can order a CD copy of this program from our website. Our website is issuesineducation.org. That's issuesineducation.org. And please give us a call at 928-776-0000. That's 928-776-0000. From 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. For Issues in Education, this has been Bob and Jerry Boyd.